This is Chris France of Tom Tom Club, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowan Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we will hear from Felicia Kuhn, president of the Kate Mulaney Chapter of Coalition of Labor Union Women for the Capital District, talking with WOOC's Kathy Silber about union issues locally. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, and about a New York law that might be unconstitutional on the daily radio news. It all starts after the local news, which is next in the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Waves controlled on air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
The 14-piece Hudson Valley-based brass band Brasskill performs on June 17th at the Opus 40 landmark location in Ulster County. The massive earthwork by Harvey Fite is hosting performances all summer, and the Brasskill 14-piece Hudson Valley Brass Band is one of those. They're performing at around 5:30 p.m. on June 17th. You can find out more information about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Oak Pizzeria Napolitana in Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Paul Nelson is reporting for the Times Union. Vandals defaced more than 14 buildings and businesses in downtown Schenectady with swastikas, other hate symbols, and vulgar language on June 14. The series of incidents is being investigated as a hate crime, according to a city police spokesman. City Police Sergeant Jeff McClutchin said just before 10:30 p.m. Tuesday, a pedestrian walking by St. Joseph's Catholic Church on Lafayette Street saw what looked like two SWAT stickers drawn on the side of the building. The person called 911. Officers confirmed what the passerby reported and subsequently found the same hate-type symbols at other locations around downtown, he said. Police are searching for a possible suspect or suspects. McCutcheon said some of the defaced buildings and businesses included the Salvation Army, Hampton Inn, the Zen Asian Fusion Lounge, and the Workers' Compensation Building. Graffiti was also scrawled under the train bridge on Union Street. He said police discovered pentagrams, an anarchy sign, and vulgar language on some buildings as well. In every case, chalk was used. The hate symbols were washed off by city firefighters after police evidence technicians photographed them and collected evidence. The investigation is ongoing. Also, Mid-Hudson News reported on June 14th, a 60-year-old white town of Newburgh man was arrested because of a road rage incident in the city of Newburgh on June 11th, in which he allegedly menaced an African-American Newburgh man with a knife while making derogatory ethnic slurs. Natasha Von Holdridge is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Early voting in Columbia and Greene counties begins on June 18th for registered voters enrolled in the Democratic or Republican primaries. Columbia County Democratic Election Commissioner Ken Dow said, and I quote, "For all practical purposes, early voting is identical to going on election day. The voter checks in. If they are someone who's eligible to vote in this election, they are given a ballot. It goes right into the voting machine to be scanned. It's really identical from the voter's point of view to going on election day, except, of course, the locations. They are either in Hudson or Kinderhook, but it may be more convenient to come on a weekend or on one of the other days," end quote. The primary election will be held on June 28th. In Columbia County, Democrats will be choosing a candidate for governor and lieutenant governor. On the Republican side, there is a contested primary for governor, but not for lieutenant governor. Republicans also have a primary for the 106th Assembly District seat. Dow said no other parties have primaries. A separate special election will be held on August 23rd to choose a candidate to fill the remainder of the two-year term for the 19th Congressional District seat. The candidate chosen will fill the vacancy created by the resignation of now Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado. August 23rd is also the primary date for congressional and Senate elections. Early voting in Columbia County will take place at two locations: the Columbia County Office Building at 401 State Street in Hudson and the Martin H. Glenn Municipal Building at 3211 Church Street in Valencia. Early voters in Columbia County can cast ballots at either of the two locations, regardless of where they reside in Columbia County. Early voting hours are as follows: 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on June 18th, 19th, 21st, 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th, from noon to 8 p.m. on June 20th and 22nd. Early voting in Greene County will take place in Suite 430 on the fourth floor of the Greene County Office Building, 411 Main Street in Catskill. Early voting hours are as follows: 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on June 18th, 19th, 21st, 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th, from noon to 8 p.m. on June 20th and 22nd. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Lauren Hockerwick is reporting for the Times Union. New York residents and visitors are being urged to watch out for ticks this summer. One insect that may be gaining in numbers in the Hudson Valley is the Lone Star tick, which can transmit the bacteria that cause ehrlichiosis, an illness with flu-like symptoms, as well as alpha-gal syndrome, a condition that results in a red meat allergy. In its adult form, the Lone Star tick is characterized by a light yellow dot on its back. Rick Otchfield, disease ecologist and senior scientist for the Carey Institute, said, and I quote, "They've been known to occur in this area for a long time, as shown by the 2011 map, but they may now be increasing in abundance," end quote. Unlike blackleg ticks, Lone Star ticks are quite a bit faster and are capable of pursuing a host. Otchfield said, and I quote, "When they detect a host is nearby, from CO2 or heat we emit, they pursue the host quickly. The Lone Stars really seem to motor, and it can be intimidating," end quote. Lone Star ticks are found to latch onto turkeys and deer more than other hosts. Ehrlichiosis, which is passed on by Lone Star ticks, causes fever, chills, headache, muscle aches, and sometimes upset stomachs, according to the CDC. The disease can be fatal, but antibiotics typically clear it up. Alpha-Gal syndrome causes the body to develop a sometimes severe, life-threatening allergy to alpha-gal, a sugar molecule found in most mammals, and therefore in their meat. There is much still not understood about alpha-gal syndrome, but the CDC says there is growing evidence it may be, and I quote, "triggered," end quote, by a Lone Star tick bite. In a statement released in May, New York State Health Commissioner Dr. Mary T. Bassett said prevention of bites is preferable to treatment of symptoms from a bite, and she urged individuals to take prevention measures and to take ticks seriously this summer. Common tick bite prevention measures include wearing long-sleeve light clothing, checking for ticks after being outdoors, performing full-body checks throughout the day while outdoors, and using repellents such as DEET, Picaridin, and IR-3535. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union. Andrea Mako reports in Porcupine Soup that during the current Hudson Valley housing crisis, few affordable housing projects are being proposed locally, but one development is back on the table in Coxsackie. UMH Properties Incorporated recently filed a new site plan application for Mountain View Estates, a 360-unit manufactured home community on what was once farmland off Van Dyke Street that the company, based in Freehold, New Jersey, purchased in 2005. Local opposition has stymied previous plans for affordable housing there. UMH filed a federal lawsuit against the village in 2018 that complained that, and I quote, "residents of the village of Coxsackie mounted a full-scale campaign in opposition to the development," end quote. The village of Coxsackie settled that lawsuit by paying $275,000 in damages, attorney fees, and costs, and allowing a new application for the development to move forward. The proposal would put 360 homes on 99 acres with a 6,000-square-foot clubhouse, multiple playgrounds, basketball courts, a boat and trailer storage area, multiple trails for pedestrians and horses, and 85 acres of, and I quote, "habitat reserve area," end quote. If the project is eventually approved, UMH officials guess it will be completed in 7 phases over the course of the next 10 years. And you can read the full story at Porcupine Soup. Roger Hannigan-Gilson in the Times Union reports that in Greene County, the number of new permits for single-family homes rose 57.4% in 2021 and rose 42.3% in Columbia County. The Greene County percentage was the fourth highest rise in the state. Those were the largest numbers of new permits issued in Greene County since 2009 and in Columbia County since 2008, according to a report by the Center for Economic Growth, a Capital Region-based business development nonprofit. And Greene County's population rose 1.3% last year, while Columbia County's population rose by 0.4%. Demand for new homes far outstripped supply in both counties, which has led to a surge in prices, with the average value of a home rising 20% in Greene County last year. Center for Economic Growth Chief Economic Development Officer Katie Newcomb said she was, and I quote, "not sure if the new permits are enough to satisfy that demand," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. The Troy Record reports that New York's highest court on June 14th turned down former President Donald Trump's latest effort to avoid testifying in the state attorney general's civil investigation into allegations of corrupt business practices. Trump will be forced to give a deposition in July. The state court of appeals said there was no, and I quote, substantial constitutional question, end quote, to rule on an intermediate appellate court's previous decision last month enforcing the subpoena for Trump's testimony. Trump and his two eldest children, Ivanka and Donald Trump Jr., will have to answer questions under oath starting July 15. The State Court of Appeals upheld the appellate division of the state's trial court May 26, ruling that the Trumps had to undergo a deposition. The Trump Organization is accused of exaggerating the value of assets, including buildings, golf courses, and his Manhattan penthouse to get loans, insurance, and tax breaks. Read more about this story in the Troy Record.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. The National Weather Service in Albany is forecasting a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 5 p.m. Otherwise, it will be a partly sunny Thursday afternoon, with the temperature high near 78 degrees and a south wind at 10 to 14 miles an hour. Tonight, there is a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 1 a.m. It will be cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy, with the temperature low of around 65 degrees, and a south wind at 6 to 11 miles an hour. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, a slight chance of showers between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m., and then Friday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 54 degrees. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 66 degrees. And Saturday night, mostly clear with a low of around 51. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, Radio for Open Ears in Greene and Columbia Counties.
Thursday, June 16th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m., Barcelonian bassist Manuel Fortia talks with Cheryl Kay about his new jazz release, Despartera. And that's on the Situation Fluxus show at 10 a.m. Then we have some transformational listening at 11 a.m. with a West African mixtape. At noon, it's time for Alan Skerritt's Crossroads in Rhythm show with all sorts of R&B, blues, rock, and more. At 2 p.m., tune in What's the Frequency Kenneth, the show that mixes the latest news of the week with the latest music of the week. At 3 p.m., turn on the news all about the January 6th congressional hearings. At 7 p.m. on Catskill Cabin Getaway, Mike Porter and Andy Reid speak with George Patterson, a writer, DJ, and musician. At 9 p.m., we're live with Andrew O'Connor's pirate radio show, Disco 3000. And at 10 p.m., Ted Barron has the Boogie Woogie Flu live from the WGXC Hudson Studio on Warren Street on 90.7 FM, WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Tune in or turn out for Catskill's Amy Rigby, Friday, June 17th. She'll be at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill performing from 8 to 10 p.m. And WGXC will have a live webcast and a broadcast on 90.7 FM if you can't make it in person to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. June 17th, this Friday, from 8 to 10 p.m., Catskill's Amy Rigby will be performing live at the Avalon Lounge and on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. You're listening to Quintron's Weather Warlock. Live stream of an analog drone synthesizer played by the weather, made by the New Orleans-based artist Quintron. You can listen to the Quintron Weather Warlock take the changes in weather at Wave Farm in Greene County and hear it anytime, 24 hours a day, at wavefarm.org/listen, or go to any WGXC.org webpage and click on the Listen button to hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, turning the changes in precipitation and sunlight and wind and temperature into sound.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, June 16th. Early this morning, temperatures range from 59 degrees in Hunter to 63 in Rhinebeck. Soil temperature has creeped up to 66 degrees. Some rain rolls through this morning. Some people may be woken up by a bang of thunder or two. That will clear out by 10 a.m. and we will hit a high temperature of 76 at 3 p.m. Couple hours after that, we will have another chance for rain to come through, and that will come to an end by midnight. A low of 66 happens at 4 a.m. Then, Friday has another chance of rain around midday, and a high of 83 at 1 p.m. 56 degrees overnight takes us into a comfortable-looking Saturday with a bit of wind and a high of 65. Dew points will be low, so air will be comfortably dry. Great sleeping weather overnight as lows drop to 49 degrees. Then we get a wonderful Sunday with a high of 71. Pollen levels for today will be medium high, being kept from the extremes by the morning moisture. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 4:49 a.m., low tide at 11:53 a.m., high tide again at 5:33 p.m., then low tide once again at 11:57 p.m. Today's river temperature will be, let's say, 75 degrees. We still got that bum sensor in Skodak, so I'm doing some averaging out of the working one in Albany. Sunset today will be at 8:18 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:15 a.m. Looking way up, we see forecasters are putting a 25% chance of M-class solar flares happening today. Solar wind speed is currently 549 kilometers per second at 8.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions have turned back to terrible territory, with fair conditions existing below 4 megahertz only after dark. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 5, storm level. The current sunspot number is 149. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Amanda Lees of Freehold, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
On the next Deep Threes, we'll hear a piece from Danish trumpeter Polly Mickelborg's tribute to Miles Davis that was inspired by the colors of the legend's aura, plus exotic sounds from Makanuchi Bento, Yanlin Chen, and Tatiana Koleva. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
At last, a do-it-yourself fallout shelter from
Survive All.
A shelter that will adequately protect you and your family from the devastating effects of
nuclear fallout and falling debris.
A Survive All shelter is engineered and designed for simple assembly, takes just a weekend's time, and is civil defense approved.
Survive All basement type shelters are FHA approved. No money down, up to 5 years to pay.
Learn how easy it is to assemble a Survive All do-it-yourself fallout shelter today.
The time is now. Protect your family against atomic attack and deadly nuclear fallout. See a Survive All shelter today.
Solo tú y yo, y sé que solo tú y yo podemos parar el All right. Well, you are listening to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. We're going to tell you a little bit about what's playing in the local theaters. Jenny, do you want to start?
I would love to start. I'm going to tell you about what's coming up at the Crandall, which is the theater over in Chatham. So we have quite a few movies that are all coming soon. So this is a great time to check their website at crandalltheater.org. But let me just give you a little bit of a list of what's coming up. So we have The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, The Rosemaker, Hello Bookstore, Petite Maman, The Northman, Hit the Road, Top Gun Maverick, Crimes of the Future, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, The Biggest Little Farm, and Bitterbrush. Those are all coming up in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So check those out over in Chatham.
Lovely. I'm going to tell everybody about what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have Jurassic World. I don't know what this its subtitle is called. World Domination?
It's Dominion.
Okay. the brand new Jurassic World, World Dominion. And the Bob's Burgers movie and Top Gun Maverick. And that is at the Wyndham Theater. And you can find out more at windhamtheater.com.
Moving back over the river, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Spotlight Cinemas in Hudson, which is the one on Fairview, the Fairview 8. So they have, and these are the movies starting this weekend, Lightyear, the Bob's Burgers movie, Downton Abbey, A New Era, Top Gun Maverick, Jurassic World, Dominion, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, The Bad Guys, and you can still see Sonic the Hedgehog 2. It's not too late. It's still there for you if you haven't gotten around to that one yet.
I'm going to tell everybody about what's playing at the Greenville Drive-In, otherwise known as Drive-In 32, off of Route 32. So Friday, June 17th, and Saturday, June 18th, we have Desperately Seeking Susan. And you can find out more about the other entertainment during the weekend and showtimes and all at drivein32.com.
And finally, I'm going to take you to, or actually, maybe this isn't the final one. This is the next thing. I'm going to tell you.
It's the next one.
It's just the next one. I just got all excited. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Upstate at their two locations. One is in Rhinebeck, and that one has Who We Are, A Chronicle of Racism in America, Terra Femme with director Courtney Stevens, a special showing, Brian and Charles, Cha-Cha Real Smooth, Crimes of the Future, Benediction, Aquila and the Bee, and Babe. And you can find those showtimes at upstatefilms.org. And then let me also tell you about what's playing at the Upstate location in Saugerties.
Yeah.
That one has the Bob's Burgers movie with Meet the Artists. So that's a special event if you're interested Ooh. In that. RRR, which I will be talking about a little bit later. Jurassic World Dominion. Just a regular showing of the Bob's Burgers movie. Arthur Miller's A View from the Bridge, Top Gun Maverick, David Hare's Skylight, and a movie called Elvis.
Nice. All right. My last movie theater that I'm going to tell you guys about is the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie. So the weekend of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, June 17th, 18th, 19th, we have on screen one, Jurassic World and Top Gun Maverick. Screen two, we have Lightyear and Doctor Strange. Screen three, we have Top Gun Maverick and Jurassic World. And then screen four, we have The Bad Guys and the Bob's Burgers movie. You can find out more at highwaydrivein.com. That's HIWAYdrivein.com.
Highway Drive-In.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We've been expecting progress, and we didn't get that. We got sort of the opposite.
In the wake of a grim inflation report, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell announced the Fed's biggest interest rate hike in 28 years, 0.75 percentage point. He also anticipates further increases.
It is essential that we bring inflation down if we are to have a sustained period of strong labor market conditions that benefit all.
In election news, some notable results from Tuesday's primary. South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace, a critic of former President Donald Trump, fought off her challenger. However, Representative Tom Rice, who voted to impeach Trump, was ousted in his district. Republican Myra Flores won a special election for an open U.S. House seat in a South Texas Democratic stronghold. Flores had accused Democrats of ignoring Hispanics and is a Trump supporter.
It was his policies that helped us prosper. And I want to see the Hispanic community rise up. And I want equal representation on both parties. I am the first Mexican-American ever elected in Congress.
And in Nevada, Jim Marchant, a former state lawmaker and supporter of Trump's claims of election fraud, won the Republican primary for Secretary of State. Legal counsel for former Vice President Mike Pence will appear at today's hearing of the House committee investigating the January 6 attack. On Wednesday, the panel released footage showing Georgia Congressman Barry Loudermilk giving a tour to a group of people on the day before the attack, including a man who marched to the Capitol. Loudermilk explained why the man was taking photos.
If you go to that stairwell, there's a golden eagle sconce that's on the wall. That's what he was taking a picture of. I mean, these are folks who had never been to Washington, D.C., and they were here to visit their congressman.
A lawyer for one of the Proud Boys charged with seditious conspiracy released a document outlining a plan to occupy key congressional buildings. There's no specific reference to storming the building or attacking police officers. A federal grand jury indicted a California man on federal charges of attempting to murder Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. The suspect was arrested outside Kavanaugh's Maryland home with a gun and knife. The Justice Department also announced 25 criminal counts, including federal hate crimes and weapons charges, against the suspect in the Buffalo, New York grocery store massacre. First Lady Jill Biden helped celebrate Pride Month at the White House.
Pride is a celebration of the courage it takes to stand up for what's right, to become the leaders we need to live an authentic life.
The president issued an executive order to protect children from conversion therapy. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Roof from Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. Mike Masnick at TechDirt reports about the likely unconstitutional law that New York passed in the wake of the Buffalo mass shooting. The law requires websites to have a, quote, hateful conduct policy, unquote. Of course, websites do not really have any conduct, but they contain speech. And the government is not allowed to regulate speech outside yelling fire in a crowded theater. The law defines hateful conduct as, quote, the use of a social media network to vilify, humiliate, or incite violence against a group or a class of persons on the basis of race, color, religion, ethnicity, national origin, disability, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression, unquote. That describes speech, not conduct. And speech is protected under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The law claims that it has nothing to do with free speech. Quote, nothing in this section shall be construed as an obligation imposed on a social media network that adversely affects the rights or freedoms of any persons, such as exercising the right of free speech pursuant to the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, unquote, the law says. If it does not regulate speech, what exactly is the conduct of websites that it seeks to alter? Go to waveform.org for more radio news. Next on WGXC, we've got new music from the Brooklyn-based band Oneida. Their 2022 album is called Success, and the first track on it is called Beat Me to the Punch. We'll be right back.
Oneida there with Beat Me to the Punch from their 2022 album Success.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
It's time once again for our weekly check-in with a local community organization. And today our spotlight is on the Coalition of Labor Women in the Capital District. I'm talking with the president, Felicia Kuhn. Hi, Felicia.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How are you?
Lovely.
So I'd like to ask you to introduce the Coalition of Labor Union, Labor Union Women, and tell us about the local chapter.
Okay, so we are the Kate Mullaney chapter of Coalition Labor Union Women. We are actually named after an amazing woman from Troy, New York. Kate Mullaney was an Irish immigrant. She was 23 years old, a collar laundress at one of the 14 commercial laundries in Troy in the 1800s. Laundresses would often burn their hands in boiling water, starching collars. They would often work 12 to 14 hours a day. They are working women. They were working women. Their earnings a week would only be $3 to $4 a week. Imagine living on that little in such a thriving community in the 1800s.
Okay, but I got to stop. Is that $3 to $4? Well, I just need to know, is that $3 to $4 in today's dollars or $3 to $4 in 1800s dollars?
Oh, great question.
Well, anyway, it's not a stretch to know that they were grossly underpaid and their working conditions were tremendously unsafe.
Oh, yes, yes. And again, this is well before the job standards of safety was in place. So in 1864, she organized 300 women and created one of the first all-women unions, the Collar Laundry Women. Collar Laundry Union. Almost 158 years ago, Kate Mullaney led them on a strike for better wages and working conditions. Her famous quote, as it worldly known, is "Don't iron while the strike is hot."
Well put.
Yes.
And so her strike was successful, I gather.
It was. After 5 days, they won the strike and received a 25% pay increase.
Great.
That's pretty inspirational.
Very
for women in the 1800s.
Absolutely. I mean, women couldn't even vote then. So This is really great that you've named your chapter after her. And I understand CLUW, which you guys fondly call CLU, is a national organization. And in New York, there's only 4 chapters, and the Capital District Kate Mullaney chapter is one of them. Is that right?
That is correct. So there is New York City, Long Island, Buffalo, and us. We are actually, a little fun fact too, we are the only chapter that is part of CLU that is named after somebody. Everybody else has named themselves their area.
Well, that explains why I had a little bit of trouble finding you guys online at first, because I kept looking up Capital District Coalition of Labor Union Women and not a lot was coming up. And then I suddenly thought, oh, this Kate Mullaney thing. Now that's the thing. So tell us about the national organization, when it was founded, why, if you know, and what are the sort of core objectives or values that the national organization exists to promote?
So the national organization was founded in the around 1974, I believe. It was in the early to mid 1970s. And the primary purpose is to unify all union women in a strong organization to determine and seek remedies to our common problems and concerns, to develop action programs within the framework of the labor movement, and to effectively promote our objectives. So we have a couple of core objectives that we like to follow. We want to empower women for the greater participation at all levels in the labor movement. We want those women to get involved. We want you as a woman to be able to have a seat at the table and to be able to voice your opinion, and so you can be heard. And for the leaders to reach around and help lift the younger or the more quieter women up so they can feel it too. We want to be able to organize the unorganized. We want to help develop the labor movement. We want everybody to be in the union, to have those rights in the workplace, those job standards, fair and adequate benefits and wages. We want to also promote affirmative action, social and economic justice in the workplace. We want to be able to have we don't want to be discriminated. We don't want to have sexism come into play. We want equal opportunity. And we also want to increase participation of women in the political and legislative processes. So we want you as a woman to be able to go out and be a board member or an officer within your own union. If that's not something that you would want to do, you can go to city council, go to your school board. Shucks, you can even run for president.
Are you planning to do that anytime soon? I'll look to join your campaign staff. So we had you, Hudson Mohawk Magazine had you on the show back in February, and you were showcasing Clue's event for International Women's Day. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yep. Back in March for International Women's Month, we had an event for International Women's Day, and our theme was breaking the bias. So we had politicians, we had a union president come in, a retired police officer, and to talk about breaking the bias and how we can overcome it, because they are great examples of having to fight those biases, whether it's another man or another woman, and how they were able to overcome it.
Thank you. I realize time is flying here. We've only got a couple minutes left. And so I understand you're in a building and growth phase, and you're taking the summer off. So the next meeting is when?
It is August 29th at 6 p.m. It is a hybrid. So a link to the Zoom can be published, or you can join us at the CWA 1118's building at 6 p.m. And that address is at 4 Wembley Court, Albany, New York.
And I will put the email in the blurb for this with the link to this interview, so that people who want to get the Zoom link or want more information about getting involved can contact your Kate Mullaney chapter directly. What does it take to be a member of this chapter? Who's eligible?
Anybody who wants to be involved and who's looking to build some interest and put energy to help join forces with other local women. You don't have to be a union member to join. We just want that drive. You can be a man, you can be a woman, you can be non-binary. We'll be more than happy to take anybody with open arms so we can all learn and grow from each other and help build each other up and take action and be able to do events like what we did in March.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Cassie, for having me this lovely afternoon.
Okay, until next time.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Faraway place. I know the Indians grieve.